This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
Amen. God bless you. Please grab a seat. They have been called life hacks. Those things that we learn to try to help us grow further, faster. It's not a shortcut. It's something that can enhance an area of our life. They are life hacks. So I want to help you this morning with a couple of things. I want to give you a couple of life hacks you may not know about. I don't know if you like bananas, but we go through bananas in our home like water, especially the grandkids. And every now and then when you're trying to open them, it's hard to figure that out. But if you just turn it upside down, and this little one right here, you just twist a tiny bit like that, it just peels right off. So you're welcome. That was worth coming this morning, just that, if you like bananas. So you can go home. As long as you gave in the offering, you're good. We're good. In fact, here, you like bananas, you can have that. Let me give you another one. Let me give you another life hack. Now, this one, ladies, I'm going to need you to plug your ears. I want to talk to the guys for a second. Just guys, listen, I want to give you a life hack. Husbands or guys, if you're dating a girl, that's really going to help you. When you ask your girl, your lady, hey, what do you want to eat tonight? What does she say? I don't care. Now, the truth is, she does care. She's just trying to find out how well you know her. So let me give you a life hack. This is going to help you and bless you. This is worth being here. I'm telling you, here it is. All you do is you say to her, hey, I've picked one of your favorite places to go eat. Guess where? And wherever she says, you go there. Like, that's it. You've just won the lottery. Now, the only time that doesn't work is if the place she likes takes a 3-month reservation. You're screwed. I can't help you with that. But if it's a place you can get in, that's going to help you. Life hacks. There's one simple truth. One life hack we find in Scripture that will drastically, profoundly improve every single area of your life and mine. Now, I know that's an audacious statement. That is a bold statement. But hang with me, because there's one thing found in one simple but powerful verse that if we bring this into our lives, it will profoundly improve life in every area. This one verse can change everything about your life today. This one hack can begin a momentum of improvement and enhance your relationships, elevate your mindset, restore emotional and even mental health, energize your career, and multiply your financial stability. This one life hack will bring extreme clarity to those areas of life that have become foggy, the gray areas of life. I was 15 years old growing up in Texas, and it became time to get my learner's permit so I could drive. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but back in Texas, you start driving at like 7, but it's not legal until you're 15. And so I had to go get my learner's permit, and I went and I took the test, written test, no problem, the eye test. I didn't pass it. So we had to quickly go to the eye doctor, get an appointment fast because I want that permit. And I still remember, 15 years old, I still remember walking out of the eye doctor's office. I looked up to the left. There was a tree. It was the first time I ever remember seeing the definition of leaves and trees before it was a green blob. I had no idea how bad my vision was until I experienced how good my vision could be. Some of you, honestly, you have no idea how bad it is because you've never experienced how good it could be. You think what you're living is just normal. Everybody wrestles like this. Everybody struggles like this. Everybody just lives kind of subpar. Nobody really has a great life. And that thing when Jesus was on earth, when he said, I came to give you life at its fullest extent, an abundant life, an overflowing life, the best life, and he wasn't just talking about heaven, he was talking about here, you thought, well, yeah, that's Jesus. But what if it's really possible? What if it's just that you've never experienced it on that level? And there's one verse, it's not the verse, but one verse that sets up the verse that gives us the life hack. The verse that sets it up is this, Ephesians 5:15. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful how you live. We're careful about a lot of things. Sometimes we're careful about what we eat. We're careful in certain scenarios, bad weather, how we drive. We're careful sometimes about what we do with our finances. We're careless sometimes, but we're careful sometimes. But how often are you careful bringing intentionality to how you live? And what's interesting about this verse, how you live, that word live can actually be translated walk. Be very careful then how you walk, because how you walk and where you walk determines where you're going and the experience you have while you're going there. Be very careful how you walk. The Word of God actually says, walk this way. Great song, better theology. Walk this way. And then he says, not as unwise, but as wise. How do you do that? You and I need to have some PSBs in our lives, some personal standards of behavior. Personal standards of behavior. These are areas of life where I need in my life a guardrail, a personal standard of behavior, because I have a propensity, I don't know about you, but I have a propensity in my life to go off-road in certain areas. If somebody, the first vehicle that I learned to drive on was a Jeep CJ7 Renegade, 1982, and you could go off-road, big gumbo wide mudder tires, it was incredible, you could go anywhere you wanted, you could almost drive on houses, anywhere you want to go, you could go. Then I got in high school, my parents got me a Cutlass Supreme, and I was like, you've lost your freaking mind. Jeep to Cutlass Supreme, but the Cutlass Supreme, because I didn't want to lose the vehicle, I had to pay more attention to where I was. If somebody gave you a Bentley or a Ferrari, you wouldn't take it off-road, because you know, if I don't use this vehicle the way it's designed, the way it's created to be used, I'll get the most out of it if I do that. But if I go off-road, I'm going to wreck it. And we tend to fail to realize in your life, you're created and designed, I'm created and designed to live a certain way. God gives us the manual, the handbook for life. And if I go off-road, I'm going to wreck it. And so I need some guardrails, some personal standards of behavior I'm going to bring into my life. And the unwise ignore this, but the wise implement this. Deeply personal. Areas where I have weaknesses that I need to make sure those guardrails are there so that those weaknesses don't become emphasized in my life. The guardrails put you in the place and the space where you're not going to wreck your life. You're not going to wreck your marriage. You're not going to wreck your dating relationship or your friendships. You're not going to wreck your family, your career, your integrity. Guardrails create places where we can have a small wreck so we don't have a much bigger wreck if we go further. Do you have those in your life? I learned this week. I've known it. I could have guessed it. It's not going to be a surprise to you. I learned this week that I-4 and I-95 are two of the most dangerous highways in the United States. They're a place where wrecks happen often. They're among the top most dangerous. And today, I want to talk about an area of life. I've been in ministry since I was 18 years old. I'm the guy that's called into people's lives when everything blows up, when things are bad, when there's a crisis, when people are in trouble, when there's a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And can I just tell you, over all these years, there's one area of life that causes more wrecks than anything else. This area creates more fatalities in relationships. It creates more fatalities in finances, in marriages, in parenting than any other single area. This area shapes who we become more than anything else. This is the most potentially dangerous road we travel, and it's the road of friendships. The people we allow into our lives. Not the acquaintances, not the casual friends, but the people that are closest to us, the closest relationships, those relationships will create more positive or negative momentum than anything else in life. Friendships are more powerful even than truth. And one of the craziest things we do is to embrace and chase and bring into our life close friendships of people whose lives are not moving in the direction that we want our lives to go. And we think it doesn't matter. The marriage they have is not the kind of marriage you want. The choices they're making financially are going to lead to a completely different life than the one that you would like to live. How they raise their kids, how they relate to their parents, how they treat people. If you step back and evaluate, you'd begin to discover that your friends, close friends with some people whose lives are moving in the opposite direction, and they're headed toward a destination completely opposite of what you want to pursue and where you want to live. And we find this life hack, this powerful life hack to a better life in just one verse, just one. It's so brief, we can read it in seconds, yet so profound it predicts decades. This one verse. It's written by God. The entire Bible is written by God. If you're not a Christ follower, you may or may not believe that. That's okay. But you're not surprised to know that I, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christ follower, I believe the Word of God is inspired by God, written by God through human authors, but it's a living book. It's the only book that as I read it, it has the ability to read me. And so think about this one verse is inspired by God, but he inspires and writes through the guy that God says is the wisest man that ever lived. So it's by God, from God, through the wisest man that ever lived. And here's the verse. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise. Be very careful then how you live, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And in this verse, if we do more than just a casual reading, if we do more than just glance at it, in this verse, there is both a promise and a warning for every single one of us. And one of the cool things about this verse, you don't even have to be a follower of Jesus for this verse to work in your life. There's a promise and a warning that's true for everybody, no matter who you are or what you believe. This verse, the promise God says, walk this way, walk with the wise. There's something about wisdom that's contagious. When you surround yourself with and you have close friends with people who are making wise decisions in their marriage, in their dating relationships, wise decisions financially, wise decisions in their parenting, they bring a lot of wisdom when they're facing peer pressure. In every area of life, they choose wisdom. When you have these people as the closest to you, people who are moving in the direction that you want your life to go, that wisdom is contagious. What does contagious mean? It can be caught and absorbed into your life. Please hear me. It is our friendships, the people closest to us, that influence both the direction and the quality of our lives, as much, if not more, than anything else. In fact, in the moments that I'm invited into crisis, in the moments when people's lives have blown up, often, let's be honest, the person who's blown my life up more than anybody else is the guy I see in the mirror. That's probably true for you. But we've never done it alone. Every bad story, every blow up usually starts with, I had these friends. It's the people closest to you, the people closest to me. And some of you, you don't need to improve your friendships. You need a friend shift. You need a different pace of friend in your life, and you know it. Who your closest friends are today will determine the life you'll live in your tomorrows. It's a profound verse. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Do you have some people close to you where you say to yourself, or maybe you say to other people, hey, I'm friends with them, but I would never do what they do. Like, they're cray-cray. I'm friends, but I would never do what they do. I would never talk the way they talk. I would never treat people the way they treat people. I'm good friends with them, but I would never do what they do. Their life, their decisions are going in an opposite direction of how I want to live my life. He's my friend, but I would never talk to my spouse the way he talks to his. She's my friend. We're tight, but I would never be comfortable diving into debt the way she dives into debt. We're friends, but I would never function at my job the way he or she functions at their job. But notice what God, who created us and created life was his idea, notice what God, through the wisest man that ever lived, says, a companion of fools suffers harm. Notice it didn't say a companion of fools becomes a fool. It didn't say that. It also doesn't say that a companion of fools does the same thing the fool does. It simply and truthfully predicts a companion of fools suffers harm. He's saying there will be a point in your life and a point in mine if we live like this, when eventually the people you have closest to you, the people that you spend the most time with, the people that you relate to the most often, the people who are living in a direction opposite of what the Word of God says and how life is to be lived, eventually, from the explosion of their life, the shrapnel will hit you because you're in close proximity. Not because you do what they do, but just because you're with them and in close relationship to them. Objection. I object. I thought we're supposed to love God and love others. I thought we're supposed to love people that don't know Jesus. I thought we're supposed to love people that don't think how we think and believe what we believe. I thought we're supposed to bring those people in. Are you saying that we shouldn't have any friends who don't love Jesus? Not at all. What I'm saying is don't confuse compassion with wisdom. Because often the most compassionate thing you can do in a friendship with someone that you know is living their life in a different way than your personal standards of behavior. Often the most compassionate thing you can do sometimes is to pull back from them so that when they go beyond the guardrail and wreck their lives, you're in a healthy enough place to be able to help them. The companion of fools will eventually suffer harm. When you connect with people, when you're friends with people, when you spend most of your time with people, when you date people who are going in a direction opposite of your convictions, your worldviews, opposite of what you dream about for your marriage one day, for your relationships, for your family, for your future, be very, very careful. Because someone who does not care about their marriage will not care about your marriage. Someone who's not concerned about whether or not they blow up their reputation will not care about your reputation. Someone who is not concerned about their finances will not be concerned about your finances. In fact, the word fool in this verse, it literally means someone who may or may not know what is right and may or may not know what is wrong, but they just don't care. They don't care. And you say, hey man, don't you know if you keep going in this direction, you're going to damage your relationship. I don't care. We'll work through it. She'll get over it. She always does. Walk with the wise and become wise. So what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Here's one of the amazing things about wisdom. Did you know the Word of God says, if any of you lack wisdom, you can ask and God will give it freely? Every single day. Every single morning I begin the day with prayer, and every single day in that prayer at some point I ask God for wisdom. I don't just ask God for wisdom. I say, God, I need insane supernatural wisdom. I'm kind of thick-headed, and I'm above average at messing up my life. And so, God, I need like extra doses of wisdom. Whatever you got, I need it all. I need wisdom. What is wisdom? The essence of wisdom, listen, is understanding that all of life is connected. All of life is connected. That who you are today will determine in some ways who you are a year from now. All of life is connected. And who you were yesterday affects who you are today, and who you are today impacts who you'll become tomorrow. And there may be some negative things that were beyond your control, and they affect who you are, and you can overcome them by the grace of God, but you've got to work to do that. Do you want to build a life where you have things that you have to overcome, or do you want to build a life where there are stepping stones to something better? You get to decide how you're going to live. There are no disconnected, isolated areas of life, or relationships, or conversations, or thoughts. All of life is connected. And in all of life, day by day, you are building decision by decision, moment by moment, the person you're going to become. You're setting the stage for the future you're going to have. Sir, how you function, how you think, what your behaviors are, how you look at people, how you interact with people. You're developing who you're going to be as a man, as one day a husband and a father. Ladies, the same thing, how you think, how you function, what you're building into your life, the patterns of whether you believe the best or you believe the worst about people. You're building who you're going to be one day as a wife and a mom, a person, a human being. You don't get a time out, and neither do I, or a day off to go do something insane that could hurt or damage your life. One day your marriage or your family or your career, and it not be a factor. It will be a factor. It will be something you have to work to overcome. So why not avoid it? Wisdom understands that all of life is connected, but the fool says, I don't care. I just want to do what I want to do right now. I don't care. I'll figure out all that stuff later. I don't care. I'll work through it. I'll deal with it, but this is what I want right now. And in light of that, and because friendships influence who we become, there are some personal standards of behavior that you and I should put in place so that when we wreck into it, when we hit it, there are alarms that go off on the inside that keep us from having a bigger, more devastating wreck that causes more casualties. And you know it can happen. People wreck their lives and hurt people they say they love all the time. You know it's true. You need some personal standards of behavior in your life. So do I. You want your kids to have personal standards of behavior in their lives. Those of you that are parents, you have said to your kids at some point, they come and say, hey, can I spend the night at so-and-so's house? Heck to the no, you're not spending the night at so-and-so's house. Why not? I mean, the dad's never home. We get to do whatever we want. That's exactly why. No, you will not spend the night at their house. We know this as parents. But listen, what we want for our kids, God wants for His kids. And we lay standards over on our children and the relationships they have that we don't apply to ourselves and the relationships that we have. A companion of fools suffers harm. And for some of you, just being honest, for some of you, because the people closest to you live so foolishly, the color is evaporating from your life. Because you spend a lot of time now painting with only gray. You're unsure of what you used to be sure of because you've allowed yourself to be influenced by a fool. And we get it with our kids because we want to help our kids. But we need to get it with ourselves. So what do we do? Could I suggest some personal standards of behavior that are wise to put in place? Some guardrails you're going to put in your life. When it comes to friendships, which determine the quality and direction of your life and your future. Some guardrails that will keep us from wrecking our lives through friendships that influence us in potentially dangerous ways. Here's some alarms, some things you need to pay attention to that can be a guardrail. Number one, they're not moving in the direction you want your life to be moving. They're not moving in the direction you want your life to be moving. You like hanging out with them. You feel a connection. You've got a history. You have memories together. But where they're going, the momentum of their life, the speed and the pace and the direction, it's not where you want your life to go. Here's what's important. You'll never arrive at the destination you desire following directions to somewhere else. You will never get to Daytona Beach if you follow directions to Mississippi. It's not going to happen, and they're very different places. It's not going to happen at all. And so this should be an alarm that sounds so loudly inside of you that it causes you not just to think about it, not just to contemplate it, but to actually do something about it. But it's when we hear this alarm, I look at my closest friends, the people I hang out with the most, and the direction they're moving in is not the direction I want my life to go, and that alarm begins to sound, and you're hitting the guardrail, and it's uncomfortable, and it's awkward. It's when we hear this alarm, but we hit snooze and do nothing about it, that we crash through the guardrail and experience eventually a much more devastating wreck. Does someone come to mind? Someone in your closest circle of friends that you know, that's not the direction I want my life to go. That's not the kind of dating relationship I want. That's not the kind of marriage I want. I don't want to be a parent like that. I don't want to deal with my finances like that. The couple that you hang out with, the way he talks to his girlfriend or his wife, you want to be like that? The way she treats her boyfriend or husband in public, you want to be like that? You will eventually duplicate what you tolerate. Let me rewind. You will eventually duplicate what you tolerate and what you at one time thought, I'll never. It'll be the banner you wear. Do you need some personal standards of behavior here? The guardrail of an awkward conversation today is far better than the reality of a more awkward situation later. Let me give you a second one. another guardrail, another alarm that could be sounding if you have some people close to you that are not beneficial to you. You notice that you're pretending to be someone other than who you really are. Have you ever done that? Like when you hang out with this person or these people, you talk differently than you talk normally. You think differently. Like you go to places you would never go. And a lot of times you don't even like it, but you just want to be with them. You notice you're pretending to be somebody. I watch this all the time in dating relationships when people are just desperate to be in a relationship. They pretend to be somebody that they're not. You know what's worse than being single? Being with the wrong person that will eventually make you miserable. How much of your time do you spend in the relationships that are closer to you where you're pretending? You're going beyond who you are to somebody that's different. When your wife says, hey, when you come home after playing pickleball with him, because apparently pickleball is the bomb.com, you're different. When your husband says, hey, when you hang out with those ladies, that group, when you come home, you're not yourself. You're different. If someone loves you, someone who loves you says, you're different when you spend time with, you're hitting a guardrail. And it should sound off an alarm inside you. It's a warning that if you don't change course, a much bigger wreck is coming in your life. There's some insecurity in your life. And don't get defensive. We're all insecure in certain areas. If you're a Giants fan, you should be. We all deal with insecurities. But there's some insecurity in your life that relationship is feeding. And you desire the relationship so much that you push down who you really are. And you try to be somebody that you're not. And you spend your life pretending. And it should concern you to the point that you don't just think about it. You do something about it. There's another guardrail we can hit. A personal standard of behavior, something we need to pay attention to. You feel pressure to compromise your beliefs. You feel pressure to compromise your beliefs. No, I'm not going to say that. If you're friends with someone or a group of people, where what used to be just a temptation is now a live option, where at one time you would have never considered this particular behavior, and you would have even maybe at one time, because you're a follower of Jesus, perhaps you would have called it sin. And sin is a cringy word. We don't like that word. But all sin means is anything that's dishonoring to a holy God. And at one time you would have thought, no, that cross is a line. That doesn't please God. That doesn't honor God. At one time you would call it sin. But now you find yourself rationalizing all the reasons why it's okay for you. You're hitting a guardrail. And it should scare you. You say to yourself, I'll go, but I won't participate. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm just going to be where they are. I'm going to go because it'll be fun. I'm not going to do what they do or say what they say. I'm not going to drink as much or smoke as much or sniff or inhale or inject. I'm just going to go because I want to hang out. But I'm not going to do that stuff. You're deceiving yourself, because the wisest man that ever lived, God through him said, a companion of fools eventually suffers harm. There are people alive and breathing today who can't walk because they went somewhere with someone and they didn't participate, they were just present. And the other person had been drinking or smoking or injecting, and they were convinced they were okay to drive home. And somebody else has changed forever who didn't participate, they were just there. The companion of fools eventually suffers harm. If you crave a certain friendship so much that you think, I'm not going to do what they do, I'm just going to go, you're hitting a guardrail. It should sound off an alarm in your life. And the more you ignore it, the bigger the crash is going to eventually be. Let me give you one more, just one more, then we're done. You hope the people you care about the most don't find out where you've been or who you've been with. Have you become really good at hiding some things in your life from the people you say you love the most? And you hope they don't find out what you're doing or who you've been with. In fact, you're so concerned about it, you've already come up with a story you'll tell if they do find out. You hope your parents or your spouse or the person you're dating never finds out. I was 14 years old, and I went to this house, and this is the house you went to on a Friday night. If you wanted the bomb.com party, like if you wanted to go where all the bad stuff's going to happen, this is where you went. And I didn't know Jesus yet, and I went to that house, and I was there, and this was back in the day. Like, the stuff that was on the TV, if my parents had walked in the room, I would have melted. The music that was playing, some of the lyrics and the conversations and some of the things that were happening in some of the bedrooms, like what was happening in that house, oh my gosh. And I told my dad where I was going. He didn't know what was happening. I told him where I was going because my dad had this, I don't know if it's growing up in Texas or just who he is. My dad had this idea that he was not my best friend. He was my dad. And so he was not worried about being my friend, but he understood that by being my dad, as I got older, he would eventually become my friend. That is a huge secret in parenting. Your kids don't need another friend. They need a parent. And if you're actually a dad and actually a mom and you parent them instead of worried about making sure they like you, eventually when they get older, they will like you and appreciate how you raised them, and then they'll get to be your friend. So this was back in the day. Teenagers, you will not understand this. Phones used to have a thing you had to hang them up on, and it had a cord connected to the base, and then there was another cord connected to a phone outlet. The phone rang, and at this party, it was not my first time to go to that house. Everybody knew when the phone rings, you shut the fat up. Like, house is dead silent. My buddy who owned his parents owned the house, they weren't home, of course, answered the phone, and he said, "Hey, it's your dad." So I picked up that phone, and I looked around the room like, I will punch you in the throat if you... "Hey, Dad," brief conversation, talked about the BS we were having, Bible study we were involved in, and then I hung up the phone. But the problem is, I thought I hung up the phone. Because when you put the phone down, there's two little things on each side. It didn't hang all the way up, and the TV got turned back on, and the music got cranked back up, and the conversation started with language that would make a sailor blush. Like, all that's happening. And it took about 20 minutes. Boom, 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 front door. We opened that door. There's my dad. And he didn't give a flying rip about how embarrassed I was, because he was more interested in loving me than me being okay with him always behaving a certain way. And my dad took me out of that house and took me home and did what dads in Texas do to make sure you don't do that kind of stuff again. But here's what happened in my life. I was 14 years old. I am 59 your business today, and my bride and my kids will tell you, when I get off of a phone call, I'll check it 4 or 5 times to make sure it actually hung up. And it's a cell phone. I mean, like, I am a freak about, like, is it really, maybe we should turn it off. Is it really off? Do you find yourself hoping that the people you care about the most, and you do care about them, and they care about you, don't find out about a certain area of your life, a certain behavior, or how much time you're spending with a certain person? If you're functioning like that, you're hitting a guardrail. And it is about to get worse if you don't change course. God, who's never been wrong, writing through what he calls, God defined as the wisest man that's ever lived, says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." I hope you do something with this. I hope you invite wisdom into your life, wisdom into your behavior and your thinking, because if you don't, 6 months from now or 6 years from now, you're going to crash. And you're going to remember this moment and wish you could go back in time. You will not be the exception to the story of truth. Truth is always truth. Hey, can I tell you a secret? You can go back in time. I don't know if you know that, but you can. Because today is back in time from 6 months from now. Today is back in time from 6 years from now. Today you are back in time from your future, and you have an opportunity, and this is your chance to get it right. What are the personal standards of behavior you need to put into your life? What are the things that you've been ignoring, excusing, and rationalizing that you need to step up and be a grown man, grown woman, be mature, and act on because you know? What are the decisions you need to make to bring wisdom into your life that the you of 5 years from today will give the you of today a standing ovation for making the decision? Because it's going to be awkward, and it might hurt a little bit, and it might be a little bit abrasive, but it's far, far, far better than the wreck that's coming if you don't do something. God always wants the best for you, but you have to choose best. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on you. He wants the best for you, but you have to choose it. Would you pray with me this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. For some of you, a name, or maybe two or three, came to mind. Some of your closest friends, and you've got some tough decisions to make. But did you know the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother? There's someone who loves you so much that he died in your place for your sin, for my sin, to make it possible for us to know God in a personal way. Some of you this morning, the decision you need to make that is life-changing, eternity-changing, the wisest decision you need to make is to invite Jesus to come into your life and forgive your sin, give you a home in heaven after this life and His Spirit to live inside you, to walk with you day by day. It's the wisest thing you could ever do for you and for the people you love the most. If that's where you are, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. If you'd like to invite Jesus to come into your life, you can pray this prayer out loud or you can pray it in the quietness of your heart. The Bible says Jesus knows even our thoughts. If that's you, just pray this prayer. Just say, "Dear God, I know that I need you. Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive my sin and help me to live for you. As best I know how, I say yes to your offer to know you and I give you my life. In Jesus' name."
Thank you so much for joining us. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to know it. You can text your name to 407-487-8311 and Pastor Byron will be praying for you this week. And also, we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. You can go to giveC3.cc or you can text C3 Orlando to 77977. Thank you so much for how you give. And if you are in Central Florida, please join us in person at our campus at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Have a great day.